103.5 WIMZ, Knoxville's classic rock. George McFly on the ride home on the, what do you call it, Friday Eve. Got Wyndham before you can buy him tickets to see Alice Cooper at the Tennessee Theater at 3:15 this afternoon. Speaking of the Tennessee Theater, I thought this would be a real treat. Kenny Wayne Shepherd performing there next Thursday night, and I'm waiting for him to get to the phone right now.
Hey, George, I've got Kenny Wayne for you.
Yes, you do. Hey, what's your name, by the way?
Kristen.
What, Bridget?
Kristen.
Oh. How do you spell it? K-R-I-S-T-I-N?
Yeah, that's her.
That's my sister's spelling.
Right on.
Kenny.
How's it going?
George McFly.
Is that really?
Might as well get that out of the way. I tell people, yeah, I come from a long line of McFlys. I'm George McFly the third. No, the George McFly the turd.
That probably never gets old, actually, when you introduce yourself to people.
Secondary character from a 38-year-old movie. Yeah, I got noogied. I mean, this is about you. It's not about me, but I'll just introduce myself by saying I got noogied by the actual Biff from Back to the Future. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Hello.
Did you get a photo?
Hello. Yeah, I did. Hello, McFly. I think I did the premiere of Back to the Future, the ride at Universal Studios Hollywood when I was out there, and Biff noogied me.
Nice.
That's absolutely cool, man. Kenny, how are you?
I'm great. I got nothing to complain about, everything to be grateful for.
Or where are you calling me from?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee right now.
64 degrees in Knoxville. What's it there?
71.
Yeah, isn't that incredible?
It's wonderful.
I grew up in Chicago, and like at this time of year, it's always 30 below. But I had no idea an eight-hour drive south to Knoxville, Tennessee, you get this strange weather pattern, and in January, you could be soaking up the sun.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when we first got here a couple of years ago, moved here, people were like, telling us, you know, Nashville has bipolar weather. You know, it's unpredictable. And you know, but they always said we have mild winters. You know, we get a little flurry, a little dusting of snow here and there. But for the past, you know, 3 years straight, every single winter it has been, and everybody says, this is not what it's normally like. It's like been some unusual winter event. You know, one day one time everybody in the whole city was like snowed and iced in for like 4 days straight. And then, you know, this year, I'm sure you guys got a taste of it down there where the weather got so cold, like that massive storm moved through and it was like 0 degrees at my place. And we had a wind chill of negative 19 degrees, which was just absolutely bone chilling.
Yeah, that was the day before Christmas Eve.
Yeah, exactly.
And then a couple of weeks later, here we are at, you know, 72 in Nashville, 64 in Knoxville. On a phone with Kenny Wayne Shepherd. Kenny, when did you start playing guitar?
Well, it depends. Like, I could play Smoke on the Water when I was, like, 4 years old. But I got that was on a little toy guitar with, like, nylon strings.
Can you play Smoke on the Water when you were four?
Oh, yeah. It's not that hard.
I know it's probably not that hard. But, I mean, I started walking when I was four, let alone being able to play a rock song. Well, it took me till I was eight.
Yeah, well, I got my first electric guitar when I was seven, and that's when I really started putting in hours and hours a day practicing.
Did you start with a guitar, the action, and this is going to just be for guitarists only that'll understand what I'm talking about, where the action, where the strings are like an inch off the fretboard?
That's like always how it is. It's like a rite of passage. You can't really become a guitar player without having to struggle with that. But, you know, the reason for that is because we all generally start on really cheap instruments, and we don't know what a good guitar is or what a good setup for a guitar is. So we just think that's normal. But yes, I think everybody deals with that at some point.
I was reading, I don't know if it was John Lennon's biography or Eric Clapton's autobiography. Oh, no, Eric Clapton, I think. Yeah, Eric Clapton. He started with a guitar so bad, and it took him so long to get good on that bad guitar, but by the time he got a Gibson, he became phenomenal overnight.
That's right, and I've said the same thing. It's like, you know, you work so hard, you don't realize, like, you know, it doesn't have to be that hard, but you finally, that's all you've got to work with. And then when you finally get your hands on a real guitar that's set up and plays effortlessly, it's just all of a sudden it's like so easy. It's amazing.
I know. Well, not so easy for some, but hey, completely non sequitur. I heard your dad's was a disc jockey.
Yeah, my whole life, man. I grew up around radio stations, and I used to when I was a kid, my dad, you know, he would do sometimes he you know, for a while he did the afternoon drive, but then he did the morning show and stuff. And so I would get up with him at like 4:30 in the morning to drive to work with him at the radio station, and I would pull all of his music and pull all of his spots, and I would run the board while he was working the microphone, and I would do all of that before I went to middle school.
Isn't that great? And back then, people don't understand. I mean, they look like 8 tracks. where the commercials run on. It, like, they look like eight-track tapes. They're really two-track, and you have to stack them. And then your music is either on record or CD back then.
Yeah, we didn't have any of the digital stuff.
And now we're so spoiled. You know, everything's on a computer screen. The music, the commercials. I remember I had to play Hey Jude once a week in order to go take a leak down the hall.
You know what? Well, when my first album came out, Ledbetter Heights, in 1995, and my first single was Deja Voodoo. And that song actually was like 7 minutes long.
Thank you.
And then there was an edited version that cut out the intro, but all the rock stations loved to play the album cut version because that would give them an opportunity to like go to the bathroom, or some people would go outside and smoke a cigarette or whatever. They're like, oh yeah, I always love playing this song. It's my smoke break.
Which is not very smart on your part, because then they're not listening to your song.
No, but the listeners are, so that's good.
Did your dad have an alliteration name like Peter Piper?
My dad's name was Shotgun Ken Shepherd.
Shotgun Ken.
Yeah.
Your dad's still with us.
Yeah, my dad. So, you know, I signed my record deal when I was 16 years old, and my dad was still working at the radio station. And then, you know, when the whole thing started coming into focus that this might actually turn into a career for me, my dad retired from his career in radio, and he and I have been running my business together ever since.
What a blessing. What an absolute gift.
Yeah, you know, we have a real unique relationship. I mean, family businesses, doesn't matter if it's a music industry or if you're a plumber, a contractor, you know, whatever. It's like family businesses are always complicated, and there's unique challenges to all of that, especially when you have a business where, you know, the dad is kind of running the business, but the son is technically the boss. Kind of, you know, it could be a weird situation.
Right.
But we figured out how to navigate it over the years, and, you know, we've made it work, and you know, we're close. We're really close.
Do you wake up and thank God every day?
I do, man. I thank God every day I got a lot to be grateful for. I mean, I got a career that's going on 30 years. We're playing shows all over the world, and they're selling out like crazy, which is really great. 30 years into a career, still building the fan base, reaching new people. I got a wonderful wife. We got 6 beautiful kids. I've been running this business. It's a family-run operation, and everything's still intact, and it's actually thriving. So I got a lot to be grateful for.
What's your favorite song that you ever recorded?
Well, that's like saying, who's your favorite child? You know, because these are like... Especially because, you know, you write these songs and you record them, and you basically have started with nothing and then created something that you're really proud of. But, I mean, the easy answer is probably Blue on Black, you know, because that song almost didn't happen. Like, literally, the band was, like, trying to run out the door to get in our car to head to the airport because we were running late. And that was the last song that we recorded. It almost didn't get recorded. And it ended up being one of the biggest songs of my entire life. Career.
I mean, what a great song, and that's the song I'm going to play next after we get off the phone. One quick question, because it just reminded me of something. I have one child, so I can't compare. So I always thought if I had two, I'd like one better than the other. Is there one this is so sick. If they were all hanging from a cliff yelling, Dad, 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 is there one you'd grab their hand first?
No.
Okay.
No. You know, you love them differently. You love them uniquely. I'm sure you can figure that out.
You got a doppelganger, one of your kids?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, all my kids obviously share traits with me, but I have a son who's like the miniature version of me. He looks almost identical to me when I was a kid.
Already playing guitar?
He does play guitar. It's interesting. I haven't tried to force any of my kids to play music because I felt like I was the one that was motivated to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably one of the reasons why it worked. You hear all these kids that, like, as they become adults and they hate the fact that their parents made them take music lessons or whatever.
Or so, baseball or whatever, know,
We have instruments around the house, and, you know, we try to facilitate, but there's no pressure. They're all musical. I mean, all of them are naturally musical. So, I hope somebody decides to do something with it, but I'm not going to try and make them.
I'm a great guy, a great parent. I'm sure your wife would say a great husband. Hey, man, what a privilege talking with you today. I can't wait to see you next Thursday, Tennessee Theater. It's a phenomenal venue. Great acoustics.
Yeah, great. The venue I hear is beautiful, and we're bringing to town the Trouble Is 25th Anniversary Tour, where we play our second album, Trouble Is, in its entirety for the very first time ever. And so we're celebrating the 25th anniversary, that monumental record for us. And we do that, and then we come off stage, and, you know, then we come back out, and we do a whole nother set of music, which kind of is a collection of songs that we put out over the 25 years since Trouble Is came out. So the show's been selling out all over the country.
Sure.
I thought it was going to be like a brief, like, couple of month tour that we started last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps getting extended because the reaction has been so great. And so now it's been extended into this year. So we're having a great time doing it. The fans are enjoying it. And we're looking forward to bringing it to your town.
We're looking forward to seeing you, man. Kenny Wayne Shepherd at the Tennessee Theater next Thursday night. Get your tickets at WIMZ.com. Kenny, thank you so much, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show. And hopefully we'll see you at the show.
Good paper. Kenny Wayne Shepherd got blue on black. Kenny Wayne Shepherd next on WIMZ.